US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, free thinkers. Welcome to your show. This is the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it is great to be here with you tonight. Let me tell you something. I am energized, encouraged, and refreshed above and beyond my normal allotment. I am feeling very good tonight and happy to be with you all here on this award-winning talk radio show. An honor as always, and we want to invite, of course, here as we get things rolling this evening, it's going to be a very big and busy show. We've got an assortment of breaking news stories to cover. We will, in greater detail than last week, remember our fallen brother Bill Rowland, who was called home by the Lord 2 years ago this week. And did you know, well, probably not, because it's breaking, as we say, one of our very own correspondents, Scoop Stanton, infiltrated on behalf of the political cesspool, the so-called Conservative Political Action Committee conference this afternoon in Washington, D.C. So we had Scoop behind enemy lines, ladies and gentlemen. He did a raid on CPAC along with members of the League of the South and this Council of Conservative Citizens. I just found out about this an hour ago. I was actually on the phone with a very good friend this afternoon talking about the League of the South. And then lo and behold, we had this convergence of good people there in Washington. And the political cesspool was represented there. Anyway, we're going to get into all that with Scoop in just a second. But I just want to say, I went back and listened to last week's show, and particularly the second hour, because we had a momentary hiccup there. And listen, when you're doing live, anything live, you know, I was watching the Ferguson riots on Fox. They lost their feed, you know, repeatedly. I think we've lost ours once in 10 years. But I was listening to it, and it dawned on me what a national treasure Keith Alexander is. And he's on his way here now, by the way. He's running a little late. He'll be here any minute at the radio station. But I was listening to him break down the net neutrality legislation and how the left operates. And I was listening to that second hour, and I was just marveling at what the political cesspool brings to the conversation each and every Saturday night without fail for over a decade now. And one of our loyal contributors in Florida summed it up succinctly, I think, when talking about the diversity of the political cesspool hosting staff in terms of personality and charisma. He said that Keith is the light and Eddie is the fire. I think he's right. And I love the contrast between the different members of our team here. Everybody brings something different, and together we have it all. And it just energized me, I think. Not just that, not just that we, I think, bring to you a good show, but I have seen some other things in recent days as well that give me a lot of hope. Now, listen, you live your life on the front lines as we do. It gets to you from time to time. You know, I'd be lying to say if at some point, you know, the wear and tear doesn't affect me. It does. But then I look into the eyes of my son. My son is 4 months old. My daughter is 4 years old. I got a 4-year daughter, a 4-month-old son. I look into his eyes. You know, Western civilization belongs to him. That is his inheritance. And it's his inheritance based upon the gift that was given to me and given to my father and given to my grandfather and great-grandfather by all of their ancestors going back to the beginning of time. We built Western civilization. And I was fighting for my children before they were ever born. I was doing this radio show before I ever even got married. I was doing it for myself then, I guess. Now I'm doing it for them. And I owe him my very best efforts each and every day, and certainly each and every broadcast. And I look into his eyes, and I want to say at the end of my time that I did everything I could to protect his interests and to fight against those who would seek to disenfranchise European American males, specifically Christians, heterosexuals. I fought for my son in this life, and I'd like to think that's what I'm doing right now. I'm going to paint a picture here for you, and I don't think you'll need a Venn diagram to follow me. Of course, as you know, 3 weeks ago, we were denounced by the United States Congress, and there is an old rule of thumb in business and especially in politics that if you are operating from a superior position, you don't acknowledge your opposition unless they are a threat to you, because to do so, to even mention them by name, brings you both to level ground. It either brings them up to your level or you down to their level, depending on who you are and the perspective you have. But as it continues to sink in that we were not only acknowledged by Congress but denounced on the record during official proceedings, you know, that's exactly what they did. You know, they legitimized us in a way. You know, we have this credibility that we've built because we own a tiny sliver of the mainstream media. We are a nationally syndicated radio program. Are we as big as Hannity? Are we as big as O'Reilly? No. You know, but we've never claimed to be. But we do have a huge audience, and it's growing every week. And so we're on these AM and FM stations, and so it gets us in the door. It gets us in the game. And so 3 weeks ago, we were denounced by Congress. 2 weeks ago, we responded emphatically that we would not be bullied, we would not be silenced, we would fight on for our people. We claimed the moral high ground for ourselves. Now, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Here's where the plot thickens. Just this week, we find out that a member of the Tennessee State House, now this isn't a congressman, this is a member of the State House, she went on the record and said, we need to have a council on Christian relations, and we need to have an NAAWP. This is an elected official. Now, this is the first time since we've been hosting this show that an elected anyone has said anything so bold. And by NAAWP, she called it the National Association for the Advancement of Western Peoples. So 3 weeks ago, we get denounced by Congress. One of the people who denounced us was Eddie Miller's own representative, United States Congressman Steve Cohen. 2 weeks ago, we respond saying, we're not going to be bullied. We've got the moral high ground here. You're not going to silence us. We're going to fight on, and we're going to fight until this battle is won. And then last week, a member of the Tennessee State House says, we need an NAAWP. Now, is it because of our stand? Who's to say? I can't say it is. I can't say that this woman knows what we're doing here. She's from Columbia, Tennessee, which is a couple of hours to the east of us. But is it possible? Is it plausible? Of course it is. As I've always said, the political cesspool speaks for the dispossessed majority. We speak here, what we say on the radio, that for which we advocate, is fundamentally agreeable with the vast majority of red state heterosexual Christians. And even non-believers, I mean, the stuff we're selling. Now we've got elected people saying, you know what? It's time that white people and Christians get a seat at the table as well. Are we breaking through? I don't want to give myself too much credit or this show too much credit. But if it does happen, we will have played a role in it. And that's what we're fighting for. Ladies and gentlemen, it can happen.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Okay, class, who wants to learn how to dig up bugs, worms, and raise crickets for food? All spiders have 8 legs, but do the hairy ones have the most meat? Is it true grasshopper legs taste like chicken? Which bugs have the most protein? Which are best served dried and which are best eaten while still alive? Which bugs are the most dangerous for your children to eat? Do you like the sound of this? We don't either, so you'll have to go to a government-sponsored expo for cooking with bugs. The Get Prepared Expo has so many great seminars, we had to cross the poorly attended ones off our list, like the Red Cross, FEMA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Department of Education, the Internal Revenue Service, the American Cancer Society, CERT, and Homeland Security. We can't help everyone, just the really bright people, the top 1% of thinkers and doers, like you. The rest, the other 99% who don't think and don't do, well, the government's standing ready to help them. The Get Prepared Expo, the last weekend in March. For details, visit GetPreparedExpo.com.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. Again, join us in the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party taking place right now at cfcc.org. That is cfcc.org, the Council of Conservative Citizens website. They are good enough to every Saturday evening host a live online chat that coincides with our live broadcast. And a lot of people there at cfcc.org in the chat room are talking about what I think is a fairly significant development, in that we had a state representative here in Tennessee put out in public that she thinks there needs to be a council on Christian relations and an organization that she would call the National Association for the Advancement of Western Peoples. Now, she got skewered, of course, by the media. You know, we can have special interest groups for every race or sexual orientation under the sun, but by God, we're not going to have it for white people. And she was skewered as a racist, and she backpedaled a little bit, but not a lot, and certainly not to the extent that we normally see. Her name is Sheila Butt, and she comes from Columbia, Tennessee. She is a Republican. And I'm just going to read very quickly here, and we're going to move on to Scoop. She called for the Council on Christian Relations and an NAAWP in this country, the Tennessean reported. That is the major newspaper in Nashville, the Daily. And she said, "It saddens me that we've come to a place in our society where every comment by a conservative Christian is automatically scrutinized as being racist." She said that we need to make sure that every race, religion, and gender and culture has a seat at the table. And obviously what she's implying there is that Christians and white people do not. And she's right. And so here's the thing. That is why we were denounced by Congress. That is why hate groups like the ADL and SPLC are on us like white on rice. That is why since day one we've been attacked by others in the media. If you put a few cracks and fissures into cultural Marxism, into their foundation, it'll fall in on them like a house of cards. It will. You know, this whole thing that they've got set up is very tenuous, and that's why they have to operate as though they have a vice grip on us, because, you know, what they're advocating for is unjust, and it's illogical, and it's immoral, And most people only go along with it because they fear repercussions. They fear being socially rejected. They fear perhaps losing their jobs. You don't win by putting pressure on people in that way, and they know it. And so when you have people like us standing up and speaking out and surviving and continuing on, it wasn't the end of the world when we got denounced by Congress. Here we are again doing it one more time. And again next week and the week after that. So I think people who fundamentally agree with us, like perhaps this lady, this representative in Tennessee, saw that. Others see it, and they're going to begin to speak out. Folks, it could happen, but it will only happen with eternal vigilance. Now, the political cesspool rises to the sound of the guns. Where the action is, that's where we go to fight. And Scoop Stanton was there today. Scoop Stanton was behind enemy lines at the so-called Conservative Political Action Committee meeting, the big annual confab in Washington, D.C. Scoop, what did you see? Tell us all about it.
Good evening, James. Good evening, members of the League of the South. And good evening, everybody who I met at CPAC. Well, yours truly got a hall pass this afternoon, so I said, you know what? Let me go down to CPAC. So, and as I'm trying to call everybody, including you, who for some reason you don't pick up your phone when I call, I spoke to Mr. Felak, who said the Legalist South was out there, look for the white flags with the black cross. Sure enough, right across from the Gaylord Convention Center was the League of the South with the Southern Nationalist flag, stars and bars, and various other flags. So I went over and I actually met Mr. Heimbach, who was very pleasant, very intelligent, and was hanging out for a little bit. Then I went into the side of the belly of the beast. And yours truly says I'm not too much of a dapper dresser. I had a pair of jeans and a hoodie. I look like a victim from the TV show Sons of Anarchy. And I'm walking around. There's people very well-dressed, very preppy, a lot of so-called hipsters and that sort of thing. I was very surprised the number of young people. So that gives us somewhat of a glimmer of hope. So then I decided to try to get a media pass for the political cesspool. So I went down to the table. Go ahead.
Being a legitimate AM radio show, you should have been there. Should have gotten one. What'd they say? I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I walked up. I said, hi, my name is Peter Stanton. I'm with the political cesspool on Liberty News Radio. I was wondering if I can get a media pass. And a very nice gentleman, a very nice lady at the table said, did you call ahead and make a reservation, anything of that nature? And I said, no, this is just a spur-of-the-moment thing. So I gave him my business card, which had my name on it, with the website. And then he said, do you have any credentials? No, I just had a business card. I said, just go on the website. So luckily the gentleman had a tablet with the internet connection. Went on the political cesspool website. I said, oh, boy, here's where they're going to call Prince George's County Police and have me escorted. And the gentleman said, okay, where are you at, sir? I said, go under crew. You see a picture of a very handsome man with a smiling face standing next to a headstone. And sure enough, he said, okay, here you go, sir. So I had media credentials at CPAC.
Wow, I am not shocked, because we are as legitimate as any other talk radio program in the country, but that you could get in there without having to be hassled and going through hoops and not registering in advance, that's pleasantly surprising.
So surprising. I should have played the numbers tonight. But anyways, I'm walking around with my media credentials. I got my tablet. I got a notebook. And I'm just looking for something. I walked in the big room that everybody sees on C-SPAN, and some boring speaker was talking about the 10th Amendment. So I decided to walk out. I'm walking up and down Radio Row, still looking at the same people. There's really nobody interesting to talk to because, I mean, they look all the same. Everybody's in suits and ties, which is not a bad thing because, you know, they're appropriate dress where I wasn't. But they just, you know, look like the same people that got behind Mitt Romney. And then as I'm walking up and down Radio Row, I met none other than David Webb. Now, those who don't have satellite radio, Mr. Webb is he's on the Patriot Channel 125, and he happens to be black. Now, he's not like a Michael Steele black or, you know, one of these token blacks. This guy swear to God, would make a good guest on The Political Cesspool. He tells it like it is. And I spoke to him, and he's like the type of guy that you would not want to meet in a dark alley at night. But he's very kind, very nice. I give him a card. He looked at the card and he's like, oh, The Political Cesspool? Man, that sounds like a great show. I like that. So, he had to continue going up and down Radio Row because he's just as much a celebrity as the neocons there. So then I'm walking around. I saw a bunch of gentlemen wearing green battle dress uniform pants, boots, combat boots, and shirts. I'm wondering, who are these guys? Then I met some nice uniform members of Prince George's County Police Department. I asked them, you know, how's it going? I was like, fine. I was like, anything going on? Nah, it's quiet. You know, no protesters, no disorderlies, things of that nature. And I was like, well, of course, because it's not a rap concert. It's not the Democratic National Convention. It's not Ferguson. So the Prince George's County Police were more or less what we call stealing, just standing there earning the money, doing much of nothing. So then I said, you know what? This is too boring for me. There's nothing really going on. You got this straw poll going on, which they do online. So I decided to go back across the street and hang out with the gang from the League of the South. And to be honest,
we will pick it up. We're going to pick it up there. Listen, so far, I couldn't be more engrossed by Scoop's recounting of his experience at CPAC. We're going to find out what was going on in the protest outside and tell you why we're not all warm and fuzzy about CPAC. You probably don't need a detailed explanation, but it's coming up right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of The Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, The Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so we established in the last segment that the political cesspool correspondent Peter Scoop Stanton obtained official credentials from the officials at CPAC today, but it wasn't really enough there to keep his interest. And, you know, of course, are we surprised that he received them? No, I mean, he certainly should have. I mean, the political cesspool is a bona fide AM syndicated radio show. We would expect that. The only thing that pleasantly surprised me was that we didn't put in for the credentials in advance. Scoop went down there on a whim and got them, nearly at the end of the gathering.
It was probably a great thing that he did go at the last minute, because if they had it ahead of time and researched it, we might have had a different result.
Well, I mean, but why, though? You go to our website, as they did, and that's how they base their decision. They go to our website, and they look at us for who we are, not what hate groups say we are, not what the SPLC says we are. And, you know, he should have been granted the credentials, and he certainly was. So if you base it upon what our website says about ourselves, not what left-wing radicals, you know, and their mischaracterization of us say, then you certainly should have received the credentials, and I'm glad that you did. But now, were those credentials enough to get you in the room with Jeb?
No. In terms of the VIPs, Jeb Bush, Senator Paul, all those other speakers, probably the straw poll, I don't know if they're still in the building. I don't know where they were. I was just walking around the general area of the Gaylord Convention Center.
But well, it's still a story to tell.
I'm walking around, and I really don't have anything in common with these people. You know, there's nobody really interesting. There's a couple no Bush signs brought around, which, you know, gave me a glimmer of hope. I said, let me go back outside, hang out with Matt and the rest of the people of the League of the South and the COCC, where they were having quote-unquote protest or demonstration. But what these people are doing, unlike our enemies at the Ameren conferences, Euro conference, COC conferences, they're just standing on the sidewalk, peacefully, quiet, with signs and some flags, and people I think everybody in CPAC must have came out of that convention center with their phones, their cameras, everything to see what was going on.
Wait, and let me just interrupt you. I want to interrupt you right there very quickly, Scoop, just to make this point. So you had the credentials based upon the bona fides of the political cesspool to go in and have, you know, almost all access to the event. But you saw there, and quite rightly, that you didn't have a lot in common with the people there. I mean, it's called the Conservative Political Action Committee, but unless you believe that the cause of illegal wars for Israel or unconstitutional wars for Israel is the conservative calling du jour, you probably don't have a lot in common with these people. These are neocons. This is the corporate Conservative Political Action Committee, Jeb Bush and Sarah Palin and people of that ilk. Now, I know they had Phil Robertson, so they did have a little bit of a dose of populism there. But for the most part, the organizers of CPAC have done absolutely everything that they can to sanitize themselves, to compromise themselves from authentic conservatism, the likes of which you will hear on this radio program. Now, they have done everything they can to run from any, you know, labeling of the R word. And the funny thing is, I have seen no shortage of articles this week from the left that still call CPAC a racist gathering, even though they've done all they can to distance themselves from legitimate white interest. In fact, one of their vendors, I believe, one of their exhibitors at the conference was a group called Pro English. And, you know, God forbid we have an organization at the Conservative Political Action Committee that advocate it might be sensible to, you know, defend the fact that English is the official language of Americans and that we should do business in English, et cetera, and that we should limit immigration of illegal aliens and so on and so forth. God forbid that. And so, you know, they still get branded with that scarlet letter R, even despite their best efforts to prove that they are just as radically egalitarian as, you know, their mirror image on the left. So anyway, you found out you didn't have a lot in common with him. You went back outside into the 20-degree weather. What was going on in the protest? Now, I've seen a lot of pictures from this. including the world's worst YouTube video, which was taken by you, Scoop. I think I saw one-fourth of one person's head in that entire video you sent me. But I saw some good pictures of people with the Confederate flag. What was going on outside?
Well, like I said before, they're peaceful. They're quiet. They weren't blocking the sidewalk. They weren't yelling or screaming. In fact, next year, I mean, League of the South ought to get a booth inside the convention center because there are people walking up, you know, what's the deal, what's going on, what's it about? And Mr. Heimbach and company was, you know, telling them what the deal is. You know, we support shutting down our borders. We don't want to, send $1 billion to Chechnya to shut down their borders. And also about abortion and also keeping up the civil rights for white people. And there's a gamut of people, you know, people were running saying, you know, racist and honking the horns, people, you know, running, couldn't get away from it fast enough. Then there's also people standing there want to listen, you know, hear about more about what they stood for. And Mr. Heimbach was interviewed by a whole bunch of other bloggers and whatnot. And what really surprised me, a young Asian gentleman and a young Indian gentleman came up. They wanted to talk to me because I was standing there, you know, trying to look cool. But I need to try harder. And they asked what was going on. And I said, you know, this is a group that, you know, advocates civil rights for all, special interests for none. And they got it. And they said, including white people? I said, yeah. And they said, well, good. I said, I bet you in your life, gentlemen, you're going to, you know, there'll be a time and a place that, you know, you're Asian and Indian, that you're going to be discriminated against. And they said, you know what, you're right. So that really shocked me. These two young, you know, non-white gentlemen got it. I gave them a business card and wish them well.
Well, so you're telling me that the ragtag confederacy of League of the South members, Council of Conservative Citizens members, and the political cesspool team, including you and Matt the Copperhead, you were being interviewed by members of the press or at least bloggers, internet entities out there on the curb of the CPAC convention?
Right. It was the League of the South and a gentleman whose name I forget from the council. The Copperhead was not there. It was Matt Heimbach.
Oh, I thought the Copperhead. You know, the Copperhead's everywhere. I just assumed that he's going to be anywhere because he's in a different state every day.
Exactly. And I'm surprised he hasn't walked in my front door. But again, the league was, they were just on the sidewalk. They were quiet. They weren't yelling and screaming. They weren't waving anything. They weren't in your face. They gave out some materials of the Magnolia paper. And then, of course, somebody inside the convention center got scared. And then one uniformed member of Prince George's County Police Department was standing across the street looking bored because there's nothing going on. So compare that with the latest Amarin Conference in Tennessee, where you got a bunch of ne'er-do-wells and losers and degenerates sitting there yelling and screaming, raising a ruckus. So my suggestion for Mr. Heimbach and the league is get a booth inside the convention center because, like, you know, we know how to behave for the most part.
Well, I know that the price of admission is $4,000 to be a vendor at the CPAC conference, so that would be about $3,900 more than that we could afford. But listen, you know, it's the truth, and I admire you so much for being there, Scoop, for going in there and owning it and getting the credentials that you were deserved as a member of our hosting staff and team here, and for going out there and being part of the street crew protesting CPAC, because here's the thing. They have hijacked the word conservative, and I know our very good friends Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor and Peter Brimelow, a former editor of Forbes magazine, hosted a dual event at the National Press Club this weekend entitled Beyond Conservatism, and we're going to have members of that contingency on the show next week. They're actually still in session tonight, or we would have them on this evening. It's a weekend event just like CPAC. But they were talking about being beyond conservatism, and I understand what they're talking about in terms of people at CPAC, specifically the organizers, have hijacked the word conservative. Jeb Bush is a conservative? Well, hell, I don't want any part of that. But no, I think we represent and we embody true conservatism, true conservative resistance to multiculturalism and all the fads of the radical egalitarians. That's what you get here on the political cesspool. And part of that is certainly a defense of the faith of our fathers, a defense of our racial heritage. They can call themselves conservatives all they want. Maybe the media, who is owned and operated and controlled by about, what, six people, maybe they, you know, give them access to the conservative name, but that doesn't make it so. So I understand distancing ourselves from so-called conservatives, such as the organizers and some of the main presenters at CPAC. But on the other hand, why should we let the enemy redefine our own words? You know, this is a conservative broadcast, and I'm not going to abandon the word conservative just because Jeb Bush and Sarah Palin pretend to be that. Scoop, thank you so much for your report. Thank you for going behind enemy lines. Revel in the CFCC chat at cfcc.org. Take a victory lap. You deserve it, brother. God bless you. TPC takes CPAC. Thanks to Scoop Stanton.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, be sure to join us at cfcc.org for the TPC online chat and virtual fan party hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens every Saturday night, and we're thankful to them for that. And I want to thank Peter Scoop Stanton for giving us such a great report from behind enemy lines at the CPAC convention. And Keith Alexander now with us now. He's actually been in the studio here for the last several minutes. Coming in just a tad late this evening, but that's okay because we wanted to work Scoop in as well. I'd like to have you comment on that. What's your position? Because we have friends on one hand that say, you know, we got to abandon conservatism altogether. It's been hijacked entirely by people like Jeb Bush and Sarah Palin and some of the others that you see featured at CPAC. You know, we're beyond that now. We have to have something new for our people versus, you know, to hell with words being perverted. We're going to stick with a winning word, you know. People rally behind the word conservative, you know, that, you know, this is something that is familiar to people. And, you know, I still consider myself to be an authentic conservative, a paleo conservative, if you will, but the genuine article. Where do you fall in terms of that argument, Keith?
I tend to be with you on that. I think that's probably right. We've got to recapture the conservatism of our forefathers. Our forefathers were paleoconservatives. They would not recognize Jeb Bush as being anything other than what he is, which is liberal. We don't need that. You know, we have kinos rather than rhinos. Rhinos are Republican in name only. CPAC is filled with kinos, conservative in name only people. And they are so frightened of their own shadow that now they are shunning Ann Coulter, who is, you know, if she is now considered beyond the pale for the organizers of CPAC, then heaven help us. You know, I guess Jeb Bush is next. He'll be somehow cast into the outer darkness along with us and every authentic conservative that there is. The problem, James, is this. All of these people, many of them well-intentioned, particularly these younger people that are coming out and visiting the League of the South concession or the Council of Conservative Citizen stand or protesters at CPAC, are open-minded. They want to find true conservatism. The positions of true conservatism resonate with them. But they have been scared off of embracing conservatism unconditionally. They do not want to be considered a conservative regarding the civil rights movement, for example, or about certain aspects of feminism, or you just name it, anything that has even a tincture of political incorrectness about it, they don't want to have anything to do with. And as we have preached consistently on this show, all of liberalism is bad. Liberalism is the modern face of evil. You cannot give them any passes, because if you do, you've given the left a beachhead from which they can lob shell, and it just doesn't work. You've got to, the only way you can have the breakthrough that we need is for people to understand that every aspect of liberalism is pernicious, it's poisonous, it is killing our country, it's killing Western civilization, and last but not least, they're interested in killing us, the white people of the world. And don't take my word for it. Sit back and look at what's happening to white people in places like Zimbabwe and South Africa today. If that is the future that you want for your grandchildren, then go ahead, go with the flow. Jeb Bush, the key issue today, I think, James, more than anything else, is immigration. And if you'll notice, every major Republican presidential candidate, the silence is deafening on closing the borders. This was something that was taken for granted as a conservative position as recently as 12 years ago. It's just like homosexual marriage. Who could have perceived or who could have predicted, you know, 10 years ago that this was going to be something that would be a loser for conservatives? Conservatives are indeed exactly what R.L. Dabney said they were back in the 1870s. He said they are nothing but the sparring partner for the liberal progressives in the political arena, and they are bound to lose because they really aren't willing to go all out for the cause of conservatism. We are. I'm worried about our future, quite frankly, and the future of people like us now that this Net Neutrality Act is passed. I think the whole thing was proposed so that they could muzzle the political cesspool, AMRAN, Council of Conservative Citizens, League of the South, Faith and Heritage, all sorts of alternative, true conservative websites on the Internet. And without the Internet, the reason that we have been able to make a beachhead and be part of the conversation is because of the Internet and the freedom that the Internet affords us. I hope that's not going to turn into a thing of the past, James, but I'm afraid that with the passage of the Net Neutrality Act this past week, that's a very real possibility.
Well, you know, we're going to be here until we're not here, and I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon. Let me tell you that. I'm planning on being here for years to come. I look forward to celebrating a 20th year anniversary with our good friends in the listening audience, just as we celebrated a 10th last October. We'll be here until they physically will not let us be here anymore. And so, you know, yeah, people, you know, can get upset and fearful of what the Net Neutrality Act may become. I certainly don't like it. You know, I didn't know that the FCC had the authority to write legislation and Congress passed it, you know, without ever even reading it, as we've heard that they did. But nevertheless, I'm planning on being here every week until I can't. So, you know, no time soon will the political cesspool be going off the air. Unless the only thing that can take us off the air, I'm not so much worried about the Net Neutrality Act. The only thing that will keep us being on the air is if we have a, you know, sudden exodus of our contributors. And we are now in the first quarter fundraising drive of 2015 for the political cesspool. And I'll be talking about that more a little bit later in the show. But the details are at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, so you can get them there. But that is the thing that I am most concerned about, not net neutrality. It's just another Orwellian thing. I mean, certainly they want to regulate the Internet, and they'll probably raise a lot of money doing that, and we'll feel the pinch, and there'll be more taxes and things like that. But do I really believe that they are going to take conservative, you know, programming and blogs and websites off the Internet right now? I don't think so, at least not immediately.
Well, I am concerned, and, you know, the reason I'm concerned is this: even though we do have a beachhead and we do have a presence in the radio broadcast media, most of our audience, let's truth be told, comes from the Internet. We're in the top 10 typically in our time slot every week in the Internet. So the Internet is big. It's big for our movement. In fact, there's a very large part of our movement that would have no voice whatsoever were it not for the Internet. The Internet is what's allowed us to break through. You know, we had groups that had print media, like the Council of Conservative Citizens had the Citizen Informer once per quarter newspaper. They had a occasional paper series in print media. Same thing for AMRAN, American Renaissance. But we are... really breaking through via the Internet, and that's why any attempt to regulate the Internet, I think, is one, directed precisely at people and people like us, and two, is going to be very is an ominous development.
Here's the thing: as far as the political cesspool's success has been concerned, it's like the introduction to Married with Children. You can't have one without the other. We would not have had so much press. Congress would not be denouncing us. We wouldn't have built the reputation that we've had as major political commentators if it were not for the terrestrial AM stations that carry our show. On the other hand, we wouldn't have as many listeners if it weren't for the fact that the Internet makes our show available to people all over the world, not just the ones that are in the handful of markets that carry us on the AM or FM dial. So, you know, the success of the political cesspool is equally...
like love, it's a many splendid thing.
It's an equal result of the AM/FM affiliates and the Internet audience. You're right, Keith. I mean, we certainly have a very robust Internet listenership, and many of our donors live in places, obviously, that don't carry us locally. So you got to have both. But on the other hand, if we were just a strictly Internet-only entity, then we wouldn't be known, and we certainly would have never gotten the credibility that comes with being mainstream. So six in one, half a dozen in the other, if you will. I want to say this very quickly, though, and we talked a minute ago about our first quarter fundraising drive is currently ongoing, and we're going to give you all the details about that a little later. Folks, please respond to that, please. You know how serious it is. But Eddie the Bombardier Miller has his wallet open tonight. Now, he went out and got fevers and chills. I can't imagine running 18 miles in 20 degrees weather could have an adverse effect on someone. But he went to GoFundMe.com/HelpSheriffMack and made a contribution tonight to help aid in the recovery of Sheriff Richard Mack. I'll tell you more about that, too. We got to take a break.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.